If you would, take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look in verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. As we go through life, and in what Jesus is talking about here in verse 13, we're going to read in a moment, there's an easy way and a hard way. And that's true of a lot of things in life. And I don't know about you, but I've always had the motto, if I can do it the easy way, why do it the hard way, right? And when it comes to all kinds of things, if I have a task to accomplish and there's an easy way to do it, I want to do it the easy way, don't you? If there's a problem in my family and there's an easy way to handle it, you know, let's handle it the easy way. If you're on your job and your boss gives you a task to do and there's an easy way to do it, you'll probably be commended for figuring out how to do it the easy way. But what I want to share with you is that Jesus had the opposite to say when it came to living the Christian life. Look with me in verse 13. This is what Jesus said. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. For this world, the easy way will do. But for a child of God, Jesus tells us we cannot take the easy road. Now, I got to tell you, I've thought about this a lot, even when I was young and when I first became a Christian. And I used to think it's so easy for us to travel through life the way the devil wants you to, because it's what comes natural, right? Some of the evil thoughts that enter our mind, it just comes natural. Jesus said it's hard to live the Christian life. And I used to think, God, that's not fair. How come it's not easy to live the Christian life? But you know, as I've grown up and gotten older and been able to look at things a little more mature, if you look at it, it makes all the sense in the world that if you're going to be a God follower, it should take some effort on your part. I mean, think about it a second. What if you could follow Jesus and not have to do anything? Anybody could do it, right? You see, God wants you to make a commitment. He wants you to be committed to live life the way He wants you to. And He said, it's a narrow road, and few find it. But in life, to go the way the rest of the world does, it's a broad road, and many find that road, and it's easy to go down that road. But here's the thing. Jesus said that when it comes to these two roads, and this easy way and this hard way, the thing that you've got to keep in mind is there's a destination at the end of each of those roads. And the easy way, that broad way, He said the end is destruction. And not adding to what Jesus said, but there's also destruction all along the way. But that narrow road, He said the end of that road is life. Now the problem is, I think we have trouble believing that sometimes. Can I tell you what I think is wrong with the church today? We have grown to make an idol out of comfort. We will follow God as long as it's comfortable. It's been amazing to me. We started out in deacons meeting this morning at 8 o'clock, and we talked about how hard it is to live in this world today. And then I went into Sunday school, and our Sunday school lesson was about how hard it is and the struggles that we go through trying to live for Christ. And I've heard conversations about it. And I was kind of grinning inside myself, because that's exactly what I want to talk about this morning. Is we have a choice in life to go an easy way or go the hard way. And here's what I think that a lot of Christians are doing today. We are claiming to walk the narrow way, but we're walking the broad way. And we think somehow that will be okay. It's not easy to follow Jesus. And we've been talking about, well, what if we get sued as a church? What if the pressure comes and persecution comes for us to adopt the ways of the world? Well, what if it does? Jesus said, don't be amazed if the world hates you because it hates me. There's a broad road and there's a narrow road. And somehow we have the mentality, especially in America today, that if it's not easy, I don't want to do it. I can remember having a discussion with Daniel when he first got out of high school. And we were talking about what he wanted to do with his life and what career he could find. And I said, well, Daniel, you know, you could go to college and become a professional. I mean, you could be a doctor for Pete's sake. He said, yeah, but that's hard. And I said, Daniel, nothing that's worthwhile in life is easy. This is what I tell him. I've told all my kids this. If it was easy, everybody would do it. Right? And he wanted something easy, so he joined the army. Look, Jesus said it's not going to be easy to live in this world and serve Jesus Christ. But we don't believe that. Now, as we look at this in verse 13, I was studying that passage, and I started reading back in verse 1, and you see, I've heard all kind of messages on judge not that you be not judged. That's verse 1. You know, and I've heard all kind of messages on the speck and the log that's there in verse 4 there. I've heard all kind of, but what I'd never seen is I believe everything he's saying in this chapter is leading up to what he's saying about an easy way and a hard way. In fact, all through chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7 is part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus was giving some practical viewpoints about what it means to be a God follower, what it means to follow Jesus and to live for him. And he was laying it out very plain and clear what it's going to look like if you're going to follow Jesus. And then he says this toward the end of the sermon. He says, there's a narrow road and there's a big old broad wide highway. And what he's saying is you have a choice. You can walk the narrow road, but it's not going to be easy. You ever been on a narrow road when maybe it looked like if you had an oncoming car, you're going to run into them? When I was in Tennessee, I went to the store with my son. We had to go pick up a couple things at the grocery store. And one of the things that I haven't seen in Alabama, but they have them in several places in Tennessee, is they'll have these one-lane bridges. You know, it's a two-lane road till you get to the bridge. And then there's a yield sign on each side of the road. And when you get up there, you got to look through that bridge and make sure there ain't something else coming. And you have to take turns because you're oncoming traffic. And when it's your turn, you go through this one-lane bridge that's going over the highway. And then when it's that person's turn, they come through. And so you got to wait and make sure you're not going to hit right in the middle of that bridge. Listen, we have to go the narrow road. It's not easy. Sometimes you got to watch for oncoming traffic. Sometimes it's going to be rough and rocky. Sometimes you don't know what tribulations are going to meet you going down that road. It's not a fun trip. But it's a fulfilling trip. Jesus never promised that the Christian life is going to be fun. And you know what? We have a youth culture growing up today that they don't want to do anything if it's not fun. Fun has become our God. It's become our idol. Our comfort has become our idol. And we want to do what makes us comfortable. In fact, we have got it so twisted and backwards that in the church today, if we are having distress and trouble and crisis in our life, we start going, well, God, I must have sinned. I must have missed a boat somewhere. I must have missed your will, because look at all this trouble I'm going through. Can I say to you, Jesus said, if you're going through trouble, that's probably exactly what's going to happen if you're in his will. In fact, I wonder if we shouldn't be saying to ourselves, Lord, I haven't had any problems lately. Maybe I'm not in your will. Lord, I've been having fun lately. Maybe I'm missing your will. You know, there were Christians in prior generations that's exactly how they looked at the Christian life. Now, let me jump in and say something real important, real quick, because I don't want you to get the wrong idea. We have some Christians that think if you're really serving God, you've got to have a frown on your face all the time, and you got to be unhappy, and you got to complain about everything. That's not the God I serve either. My Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. But what I want to tell you about the joy of the Lord is this: God can give you joy in the midst of the storm. And it's a joy this world doesn't know anything about. And listen, if you don't get that kind of joy, no other kind of joy is going to even come close. We substitute temporary happiness for the joy of the Lord. And y'all, there are Christians that sit in church pews every Sunday that have never truly experienced the joy of the Lord, that joy that can carry you through the fire. It doesn't matter what this world does to us. What matters is who we serve and who we are. We don't belong to this world anyway. We belong to a world to come that's going to be so much better. And yet, many of us are having a love affair with this world. There's something wrong. Now, I want us to look what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 7. Look with me. Let's go back to verse 1. Because I believe what he's doing is he's drawing a picture of what it's going to look like if you walk the narrow road and what it's going to look like if you walk the broad road. Because I think he wants you to understand what he's saying there. You see, I've heard us quote this scripture many, many times. I've heard us talk about it. Oh, yeah, there's a narrow road and there's a wide road. And you know what I've envisioned in my mind? It's like we're traveling down this highway. Easy going. And we're saying, oh, yeah, there's a narrow road and there's a wide road. And you better be careful to be on the narrow road. And here we are on a freeway. Is that not silly? Look what Jesus said. Verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You know what's easy? It's really easy for me to judge other people. In fact, I find myself doing it without even trying. I can look at a person I've never seen before in my life, and I can decide what kind of person that is. And I can think about how I'm better than they are. It's easy. Can I tell you something? If you're the kind of person that you're constantly judging others, which road do you think you're on? Because you know what's hard? It's hard to rein in that critical spirit. It's hard to realize that other people may have faults, but you do too. And none of us have a right to judge another person. And it's hard, like David was talking about a while ago, it's hard to stop and minister to that guy who's begging at the front of the store and maybe even sit down and have lunch with him. That's hard. How'd it make you feel when he told you that? Did it kind of make you feel a little guilty? It would me. Y'all listen, that's hard to do. Now, do you think that that's what you do on the wide road, or is that what you do on that narrow road? I mean, let's get with it. Is that what Jesus is talking about? I believe it is. How many of us are going to do that? Judge not that you be not judged. That's a narrow road principle. And yet some of us, boy, we wag our tongues about everybody and about everything. God's going to judge some Christians over Facebook. I'm going to tell you. They ought to call it gossip book. I'm just being honest with you. Do you think Facebook belongs on the narrow road? Listen, there's something wrong. And look, I get on Facebook once in a while, keep up with Kim. I'm not saying you're a bad Christian if you get on Facebook. I am saying if you get on there and talk about everybody else all the time, you might ought to look at yourself. Now, Jesus says, don't judge. And I believe, and he's ending all of this, he gets down to verse 13, and he's saying there's a narrow road and a wide road. And I think he's describing what those roads look like. And the first thing he says, don't judge. Look what he says then. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? It's getting worse, y'all. Some of y'all are thinking, man, I didn't come here for this. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, see, can you see how he stepped off one step, and now he stepped on another. He said, don't judge. What happens when we start judging? Then we start thinking that we're better than other people. You know that's why we judge. That judgmental spirit is such a selfish spirit. Because we judge because we think we're better. And Jesus takes another step and he says, now, when you think you've arrived, that you can tell other people what's wrong with them. How many times do we see that among God's people? You know, here's something about this thing about the specks and the logs. Do you understand that what Jesus is teaching, everybody has a speck in their eye? Do you know that? You know what else? Everybody has a log. There ain't nobody doesn't have. You've got some kind of log in your life. Something that the devil uses to keep you from being all that God wants you to be. And the reason we don't have a right to go to somebody else and say, Tim, let me help you with that speck, is because I got my own logs to deal with. Now let me ask you something. Which road am I going down if I'm concerned about the specks in everybody else's eye? Does that sound like the kind of person that would be walking that narrow road? Can I tell you something about a narrow road? One thing you have to do when you're walking a narrow road, especially when it's rough and up and down and twisty and turny, you got to keep your eyes on the road. You ain't got time to be looking at the specks in everybody else's eyes because you've got a destination. Anybody get that? We're headed somewhere. We got to keep our eyes on the road. You know what? If you're on a bad road, you can text. You can look at what everybody else is wearing as they're going down the road. You can be jealous of the person next to you because they're in a Jaguar and you're in a Pinto. There you go. Listen, Jesus said, don't worry about that speck in your brother's eye because you have logs in your own eye. Now listen to me. You know what a narrow road person is? That's a person that knows, they know, I've got logs in my life. It doesn't mean they're perfect. But they're aware that, boy, I need grace. Because I got a lot of logs in my life. You know what happens when you see a speck in somebody else's eye and you got logs in your own life and you know it? You're going to reach out to that person in compassion. You say, listen, I struggle myself. And I love you. And I want to help you. And that person is not feeling threatened. They're knowing that you are reaching out to them because you love and care for them. And you wouldn't dare do anything that would embarrass them in front of anybody else. That's narrow road walking. And do you notice the specks in other people's eyes? Absolutely. But you always are aware of the logs that are in your own. You understand? Sometimes you might have to go to that person and say, you know, you got a speck in your eye. I got a log of that same kind of speck, and I need your help. That might be what you need to do. I struggle with that same thing. Let me tell you something. When a church becomes that kind of place, people are going to walk in the door no matter what kind of logs they're carrying around, and they're going to feel welcome. And they're going to feel like this is a place where I might be able to let go of some of the burden I'm carrying around, some of the logs that are dragging me down. But too many churches, and my goal is for us not to be one of those, too many churches are too busy pointing out the specks in everybody else's eye that when you come in here and you realize you've got a log, I ain't dare going in that church because they fuss over specks. What are they going to do with my log? Y'all, I'm speaking some truth here, and we need to listen. Jesus said, walk the narrow road. Don't walk the wide road. And y'all, there's some of us that are fooling ourselves. We think we're on that narrow road, and we're walking the wide road. Where are we going to end up? Again, that title of that song comes to my mind. What if we're knocking on the gates of hell thinking we're heaven bound? We better take this serious. Do you think Jesus was just making a funny joke about a wide road and a narrow road? I believe he was speaking about life. And he was speaking something we better listen to. Listen to what else he said. He said this in verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now I can hear somebody sitting here, oh good, finally we're going to get on the positive end of this. I don't like this about judging others and specs and all. That makes me feel bad. So let's talk about asking and getting. Let's talk about that for just a minute. First place, what if I ask you, don't raise your hand. What if I ask you, how many of you believe that this morning? Oh, we'd have hands go up all over the place. How many of you, I want to ask seriously now, how many of you believe that you can ask God and it will be given to you? I don't think we believe that. Because there's been plenty of us that have said, hey, God, give me $1 million. And it ain't happened yet. Right? Can you ask and it will be given to you? Let's look at this a minute. Knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. Do you believe it? Is that true? You see, that's one of those verses we read and we think, I must not understand that. How hard is it to understand everyone who asks receives? Sounds pretty cut and dry to me. But there ain't a person in this room this morning that wouldn't stand up and testify, well, I asked and I didn't receive. Was Jesus lying to us? Look what he said. For everyone who asked receives. He who seeks, finds. And him who knocks, the door will be open. Did he mean that? You know why I think that we don't believe it? I think we're walking down a broad road. And we're going the way of destruction, the way the rest of the world goes. And the things we ask for are not things that are pleasing to God. They're things that are just going to add to our journey toward destruction. And the only reason we're not receiving is because we're asking for things that God would not dare give us because he loves us. The reason I think he can say he who asks receives is he's talking to people that are going to walk the narrow road. And when you're walking that narrow road and your eyes are on your destination, the things you ask for are going to be different than the things you ask for on the broad road. And then I think when you ask on that narrow road, you're going to receive. And when you knock, the door is going to be open. You see, I think all this is connected, and we missed it. We're to be on a narrow road and ask, and you'll receive. You see, he ends all of this by saying there's two roads. Look what he says next. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Not only did God mean, or Jesus mean, what he said when he said he who asks receives, but he goes on to explain it saying, listen, my Father in heaven is a good Father, and he loves his children a whole lot more than you love your children. And if your child came to you and said, would you give me some bread, wouldn't you do it? Would you give him a rock and say, chew on this? Of course not. And if he said, hey, can I have some fish? I'm hungry. Would you give him a snake and say, if you can keep him from biting you, you can bite him. By the way, anybody doubt that Jesus had a sense of humor? He said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father want to give you good gifts? But God cannot give good gifts to a child that's running down the highway on the broad road chasing everything else that's of this world. But God can bless his child that's walking the narrow path. Now, does that mean he'll give you everything you want? No, it says good gifts. Some of the things we want are not good for us. But God will give you good things. He will make you successful as you walk that narrow road. Now, that may not be successful in the way this world. In fact, it's not going to be on that narrow road. Not in the way this world sees success. But what you're going to do when you hit the end of that road, you're going to hear your Father say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did awesome. Is there anything that can compare with that? I mean, all the things that we value and the reasons we think we're not getting what we ask for is because the Bible says we ask amiss. We're asking for our own selfishness, our own pleasure, our own comfort. But when we're walking the narrow road, we're seeing life up ahead. You know what we're asking? Oh God, help me be worthy. Help me to bring people with me. Help me to honor you in the decisions and the things that I do. Y'all, you remember when Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? That kind of man is on the broad road. If you're walking the narrow road and you're looking at what's happening in our world today, sure, you're going to be concerned. But you know what? Your security isn't in the United States of America. It isn't in your bank account. It isn't in money. Your security is in the Heavenly Father who holds you in the palm of His hand. Whom shall I fear? The Bible says. Who do we have to fear if God is for us? Who can be against us? But we got to figure out, y'all, what road we're going to walk. We got to quit playing games. It's easy to walk that broad road. It's so easy you can do it with your eyes closed. It's hard. It's difficult because you got to put out effort. You got to make decisions to go against your human nature to walk that narrow road. Now let's look what Jesus said. Verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. You see, Jesus said, now, I've been kind of describing what it looks like. Let me draw it to a conclusion here. I want you to understand, if you're on a narrow road, you care more about other people than you care about yourself. In fact, you're going to treat everybody the way you would want them to treat you. How many times have you watched somebody win the lottery or win a drawing at work, and that ugly little voice inside of you go, well, I wish that was me. And yet, what would you want others to do to you? Some of us think about that golden rule. We think, well, that person that wins, they ought to give it to me. That's what I'd want them to do to me, right? Okay, is that the kind of person you're going to be? Are you going to do to others as you would have them do to you? I mean, y'all, if that golden rule is revolutionary. If we take it serious, there is nothing we could ever do the same anymore. You talk about walking the narrow road, that's walking the narrow road. It's hard because you have to put all your selfish desires away. And you have to just treat everyone else more important than yourself. That's hard. But God smiles when you do that. Let's close this out. Look what he said. This verse has always amazed me till I saw what Jesus was describing. Look what he says. Verse 6. I want to go back there. Do not give dogs what is sacred. And do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you in pieces. I've always wondered about that verse. Don't give the dogs what is sacred. And don't throw your pearls to pigs. Do you know what he's describing there? He's describing what happens when a child of God walks the broad way. You're giving what is sacred to the dogs, and you're throwing your pearls before pigs. God has got much more planned for you than that. God wants you to live life abundantly. Can I get you to understand that doesn't mean wealthy? That means living life that when you get to the end of your life, you look at yourself and say, boy, could it have been any better than this? And you know what? That doesn't have anything to do with money, popularity. That's something, it only happens when you understand the narrow path is sacred. God's got plans for you. And it is awesome. And it is worth so much that if you don't do it, it's like casting your pearls before pigs. And I'm going to close. We have two choices. Listen to what Jesus said. enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. Only a few find it. Listen, I believe one day there's going to be a lot of people that are surprised, that are going to be expecting to go to heaven. And Jesus is going to show them their life, and all they've ever done is walk that broad road. You know what he's going to say? He's going to say, you know what? You never knew me. You can't know me on that road. And what I want to say to you today, you have a decision to make. You may have surrendered your life to Christ. You may claim to be born again. But if you're walking the broad road, what Jesus isn't is your Lord. Look at yourself and ask yourself, am I walking that narrow road? Y'all, I believe a day is coming when you aren't going to have a choice. If you claim to walk the narrow road, you're going to have to walk it. Because you're going to surrender to this world. Because they're going to demand to see that you're walking that narrow road, or that you're just going to walk with them. Which is it going to be today? Which is it going to be? It's hard. It's hard. We got to quit worshiping easy. And we got to quit worshiping comfort. How many people do you think we'd have here today if we decided we're going to turn off the air conditioners? What if we had to sit in the floor to come worship God today? Do you think it'd make a difference? We got to decide who our God is. What? How in the world are we going to stand before the Father, the Lord God Almighty, who sent His perfect Son to die for our sins, and to tell Him, well, God, I wanted to follow You, but it was too hot. I wanted to follow You, but they didn't have chairs to sit in. I wanted to follow You, but everybody else outside the church made fun of me. Y'all, we got to decide. Do you notice there was not another choice? There wasn't a middle road. And many of us, I think, were, well, I'll just kind of put one leg on the narrow path and one leg on the broad path. Guess what? It don't work that way. We have to decide. Are we going to do what's difficult? Or are we going to just slide on through? Let's pray. Father, today, I pray You'd convict our hearts. You're convicting mine because I worship a lot of my comfort. And Father, I've had to ask myself lately, what if I didn't have a house to live in? What if I didn't have a car? What if I didn't have food to eat? Would I still serve You? What if I had to go to jail? What if I had to endure persecution? Would I still serve You? And God, I pray today that You would help us to start taking a very hard look at our own hearts. God, help us to ask ourselves, am I more concerned with being comfortable, or am I more concerned with serving the God of the ages? God, help us. Help us to begin to look for the difficult, because we are children of God. And You said in this world You'll have difficulty. But somehow we just don't believe You. And I'm praying today You'd bring conviction. And God, You'd help us to decide the truth today in our own hearts. Help us to be a church that will walk the difficult road. I pray this, Lord, that You would just deal with our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen.